One step at a time. Richard came up. He has an interest and some resources on the origin of songs. And this is one of the very, very, very few songs in our songbook that was written by a preacher in the Church of Christ. The words were written by Thomas Jefferson Shelton in 1869. And the music was written by James Holman Rosecrans in 1870. Both of those guys were preachers in the Church of Christ. It's kind of interesting as you read this and as you think about this, it shows you how much faith and belief have changed in 150 years. And the challenges that exist and how the church has responded to those challenges. I read through the verses in your songbook, which I hope you'll look at. And I thought about some of the things that those passages that were a part of that said to us. I thought it was a good time for us to think about what was involved. Some of them, like the first one, the things we've talked about. One fair step at a time, dear Savior, I cannot take any more. The flesh is so weak and hopeless. I know not what is before. One step at a time, dear Savior, till faith grows stronger in me. Do you think about those words? Till faith grows stronger in me. That's the preacher wrote those words. You mean preachers have faith issues? Yeah. Did the disciples have faith issues? Oh my. All of them. We've quoted this passage about Peter, you know, in Matthew 26 and verse 75, you remember the incident? Jesus is hanging on the cross and looks at Peter. And the Bible says, and Peter remembered the words Jesus said to him, before the cock crow, you shall deny me three times. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. What happened? His faith failed him. And I'm not pointing any fingers at Peter. I mean, look where he was. If he admitted his connection to Christ, it was almost sure that he would have had violence impressed upon him. And his faith just simply wasn't strong enough to say, yeah, I'm a believer of the Son of God that you just killed. And he wept bitterly. Peter didn't automatically have faith. In John 21 and verse 7, Peter and his buddies are fishing and they see this guy standing on the beach. The Bible says, when Peter heard it was the Lord, he wrapped his fisherman's coat around himself and threw himself into the sea. I know there are different understandings of that, but I think the words and threw himself in the original language involve an act of desperation, of frustration. And right after that, then Jesus questions him in verses 15 through 17. And Peter responds without using the right words. Peter, do you love me? Oh, yeah, God, I like you. He's not there yet. His faith is growing. As you follow the life of Peter, you see that growth in faith that takes him, as we understand it, apparently he was eventually crucified himself. Understand that Jesus doesn't demand instant perfect faith. He knows how weak we are. He understands that our future on earth is unpredictable. In James, the fourth chapter, verses 13 through 14, we read, "Go now, those of you that say today or tomorrow, we'll go into another city and sell and get gain." Verse 14, "Whereas you don't know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away." Life is unpredictable. You ought to say, if the Lord wills it, we shall live. If the Lord wills it. Let me tell you something, when you get to be 85 years old, you wonder why the Lord hasn't gotten you out of here. If the Lord wills it. He goes on and says, remember your life is so short. One step at a time, dear Lord, till faith grows stronger in me. Oh, yeah. The second stanza. I am not walking by sight. I'm not walking by sight. You know, we can't see everything that relates to our salvation. And we don't understand how little faith can move a mountain. Matthew 17 and verse 20, Jesus says, if you have faith as big as a mustard seed. You know how big a mustard seed is? I didn't know until I was in a conference one time and a guy showed us a mustard seed. He held up a piece of paper. Said, see the mustard seed? And the thing was so small, we had to take a hand lens to see it really was a seed there. And you can move mountains. You can move mountains. Faith, as big as a grain of a mustard seed. We ask questions that demonstrate we don't have 100% faith. We don't have 100% facts. We ask questions like, who created God? Why am I here? Why do I suffer? Why is there violence? Why doesn't God do? Faith is a grain of a mustard seed. Hebrews 10 and verse 28 says, now the just live by faith. But if he draws back, I have no pleasure in him. God wants us to have faith. It may be small, it may be in infancy, but he can do great things. We don't walk by sight, but folks, we're not blind either. Thomas and Peter didn't understand it all. Thomas wasn't there when Jesus rose from the dead, and he struggled with his faith. And we already talked about Peter. Let me tell you something, folks. The challenges in your life are different than they are or were at that time. But let me tell you something. There are still challenges. If you missed Bible class this morning, you missed a wonderful, I thought, one of our best classes. To have people who are pillars in the church talk about the things that they have faced, the struggles that they have had. And yet here they are, in spite of all that, leading and making God's presence known in this community. And we have more evidence today than they did. We have the written word. Have you ever thought about the fact that the early church members did not have a Bible? They couldn't go to Acts 2:38. They couldn't go to the Sermon on the Mount. They didn't go to the book of James. They couldn't go to Hebrews, the book we're studying on Wednesday night. And yet we can turn today to Proverbs 8, verses 22 through 36, and we can see the wisest man that ever lived. Actually, the book is actually written by a woman who is a spirit and who conveys things about the cosmos that we are just now, today, beginning to understand. We can go to Psalms 19, beginning with verse 1, and we can look at the statements about the creation and the cosmos, which the Webb telescope is just now beginning to unfurl to us. We can go to Psalms 39, verses 1 and 14, and we can see a picture of the incredible wisdom and design built into our bodies. We can turn to Romans 1 and beginning with verse 20, see that the Bible tells us we can know there is a God through the things he has made. You have so much more to base your faith on than Peter ever did. Jesus said in Matthew 16, verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. And when we follow Christ, when we copy Christ, we get blessings. Blessings in our lives, blessings in our marriages, blessings in our health, in every aspect of our being. The third standard. One step at a time, dear Savior, O guard my faltering feet. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Keep hold of my hand, dear Savior, till I my journey complete. Hebrews 12, beginning with verse 1, the Bible says, seeing we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us, and let us run the race that is set before us. With patience, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Yeah, we want God to take everything that's happened in our lives and let it shape our feet, guard our faltering feet. And God does that. Unlike the disciples in the first century, we have the written account of how Jesus lived and how he died. Unlike the members of the church in the first century, we have all that he taught. We have the Sermon on the Mount. We have the beautiful writings in the book of Galatians and Ephesians that tell us how to shape our lives and what our relationships to one another ought to be. Guarding our faltering feet. And then the fourth standard. One step at a time, dear Savior, you know all of my fear. Oh my. Have you got fears? Well, of course you do. There's a lot going on in this world that inspires us to be afraid. You know, when I was a kid, the house that I lived in with my parents did not have a lock on any door. Remember that? Few of you nodding your heads, yeah? The first car I had did not have a key to lock the doors on the car. And you didn't need a key to start it either. It was a 1948 Dodge. and look at it today. I'm paying a little money every month to ADT because I want to have a sign out there that'll scare somebody away from coming in and killing me. You know, if I tried to explain that to my father, he would think I was lying. Look how we have changed. Look at the fears that beset us. Life is full of things that can make us afraid. Listen to 2 Timothy 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, think about that for a minute. Our world gives us a spirit of fear. We're afraid of everything. But of power and love and of a sound mind. First John 4 verse 18 says, a lack of love. He says, there is no fear in love because perfect love casts out fear. You can kill me, but that's all you can do. Jesus said in Matthew 10 and verse 28, don't fear those that can kill the body. Don't be afraid of them, but are not able to kill the soul. See, you can kill me, but you can't take away my soul. You can't take away where I will go when the body no longer functions. So don't fear those who cannot kill the body but are not able to kill the soul. Rather be afraid of him who can destroy both body and soul in hell. You know, the only thing to be afraid of is Satan. The only thing you have to be afraid of is not anything in this world. And I know you say, well, that's easy to say, it's not easy to do. That's right, but that's where faith comes in. That's where faith comes in. How many times have we read a story about someone who walked into the face of death? In order to save something precious. Christians do not have to worry about Satan. In class this morning, I showed those who were there an advertisement for a big thing that's going on in our community about the book of Revelation. And fortunately, for those who came, we've spent a whole quarter talking about the book of Revelation. And you read through that literature that's coming from some of our denominational religious friends in the community, and they're inspiring fear. Be afraid. When we studied the book of Revelation, we ended up in the 20th chapter and the 10th verse, and the devil that was deceived was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone. Satan's influence is terminal. Satan's the one to be afraid, not you. 1 Peter 1, verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which through the gospel is preached to you. See, I'm not the one that's presenting these words this morning. And everything we've looked at has been a statement from God's word. And that song by some of our brothers that lived in the last century is a reflection of their faith in what God has said. One step at a time. Dear Savior, you knowest all of my fear. One step, one word from thy heart, dear Savior, and heaven's mansions appear. You know, we're all taking steps. But some of us are like me. Yesterday, we were visiting one of Cindy's relatives, and they lived in a four-level house. And there's a whole bunch of steps to get up to the living level. I got about three steps up and decided I was going to stay there. I didn't want to go any further. My legs were killing me. We'd been walking around the Meyer Gardens. My legs were saying, one more step and you're going down, buddy. But I realized that if I stood there, I was never going to get any food to eat. And I could smell the steak that was cooking. So I had to keep going. What about you? Have you walked all the way to the top? One step at a time, dear Savior, and heaven's mansions appear. Your faith is not blind. The steps you take are up to you. I could still be standing on that step. But I didn't want us to stay there. I wanted full blessings of being at the top of those stairs. And the steps you take should be steps that take you all the way until heaven's mansions appear. John 14:1, let not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God and in Jesus, then in my house, Jesus says, are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you and will come and receive you to myself, that where you may be also, anyway, you will know the way. One step at a time. It's a great song. It's got lots of messages for us to think about. And I would encourage you, wherever you are in life, be satisfied that you're on the right step. Once I got to the top of those stairs, I got to sit down in a chair. Got to eat a dinner. And blessings. And don't you understand that you can't just stay where you are in life, whether it's just beginning to have faith or whether it's somewhere along that way? Walk all the way to the top. Obey God. Live as He calls you to live. Take all those steps. As together we stand and sing, to encourage you, won't you come and let us pray with you? Let us assist you in whatever needs you have.